That's right. Take that ball and throw it as far as you can. No, no, no. Eventually you break the cup. You learn that you're in the sand for a reason, to learn a lesson. Lessons are here to be learned and not avoided or escaped. So I wrote about that and how life is like a game of golf, and you end up in the sand and you play your way out and you learn your lesson. And that's what life is for. And I dedicated the article to my Aunt Sandy, because she's full of sand. The sand to go. So that's my first one. Then I wrote one on the value of community and how to let go of stress, 29 techniques for that. Gratitude, where I talk about Emoto. Anybody here know about Emoto? The power of prayer, how you can change the molecular shape. You don't change the molecular substance, it's still water, but you change the properties of the water by prayer or by your words that you speak. When you speak words over someone, you can affect a healing on them by the words and the tone and the energy. And he proved that. So I wrote about that in this little newspaper in New Plymouth. And I wrote 17 articles that they've published. And this one, I brought y'all a copy. It's called Going Molecular. I didn't think they would print this. But in contemplating the true purpose of life and the next step of human evolution, I talk about what molecules are, the law of correspondences, the Da Vinci Code over there, how Jesus created a molecule, and what would happen if 24 atoms got together to create sugar to sweeten the community. What a step that would be. I got no response. I talked about Joe, how he's written all these books. I'm thinking, man, the phone's going to ring off the hook. Wanting more information about the molecular relationship. That's New Plymouth. But it will happen in its own time. What, Michael? We can't stop it, but we can be a part of it. And then we can say, look back, you know, in 300 years when we're still alive and say, you know what, we were a part of that great momentous day when we met at the distant end and we linked and we joined hands and joined forces and joined spirits and became one soul. And that was the day of ignition, the day it started. We can, we will, and we will do. End of story. Now, here's a really interesting principle that I discovered by writing a book called, and Joe asked me to write this book and do a presentation a long time ago, called The Gathering of Lights. And, gosh, this was back in 88. So I'm writing all the different chapters in this book and about molecular orders and relationships and how orders form. And I discovered this principle called the plus one factor that changes the world. And it's the world you live in. And you each become a plus one. That means you're an initiate. It means you start something. You start something in your community. You don't wait for somebody to come along and do it. You get an idea. You tap in. Like you said, you slayed your teachers. I live within, she says to me. That's our source of power. That doesn't mean you're not teachable. It just means you release the hold that a teacher has on you. Not the teaching. Not the principle, but you focus on what you hear inside, your heart and your head. And you become what Joe called principle-based. Become principle, not law, you don't have to be, nobody has to lay the law down to you and tell you. Share the principle. The principle of plus one is like this. Here's a good example again. You'll see 12 plus 1. The plus one is the initiate who starts it. Joe is a plus one. He starts things. He doesn't wait. He looks for opportunities. He rushes through the door when it opens, and he makes things happen. I've never heard him say can't. Try. Maybe. Well, maybe, but I don't know. Tough cat, better try. He's a plus one. So, like in the number 13, you have 3 plus 3 plus 3 plus 3 plus 1. You take 3 13s plus 1, and you have 40, which is the number that I've talked about in the past about creating an arc, how to make an arc out of people with 40 people. Just an idea. 7 times 7 plus 1. What's that? 50. Very powerful number. You think there's 50 United States by accident? By design. Cosmic design. Because 50 is such a powerful number. 3 times 33 plus 1. 99 plus 1. When you get the plus 1, you have to contemplate it. But when you see it, you see that you become that person. Then you see that you're surrounding yourself with people. Start with triads, like Randy said earlier. Start with triads, because it's simple. When I had gatherings in Topanga Canyon, we'd have people come over, and we'd get together in triads, and we'd talk about our visions and our goals and our projects at like 7 o'clock in the evening. And people would get so engrossed in their relationship of three, they'd be there till midnight. Couldn't get rid of it. I had to buy extra beds so they could just crash there because they were in the triad technology state, and it just works. So see yourself as the one that puts two other people together, and you begin to initiate. And then you take two triads, and then you become the plus one, and that's seven. And there's your seven, and there's you're connecting with two other triads, making a difference with all these different people. But you do it intelligently because you've set an attention to do it. It doesn't happen by accident. Okay, so that's the plus one there. So think molecular, be group-minded, see small groups form around you, and be their leader. Don't wait for anybody else. Nobody else is going to show up in your town to do it. Only you can do it. All right, here's one. I think this is number 8. Stand in your own power. This has to do with what you said earlier, and you're the only one who said that. And as much as we love Joe and everything he stands for and everything he's doing, you still have to stand in your own power, not the shadow of somebody else. Unless it's Peter, if you're sick, but that was the only shadow you want to stand in. But you want to take the teachings. Take the teachings wherever you can. So I want to pass these around. These are some principles I call universal life principles. Take one down, pass it around. They're kind of truisms, things that you can go by. Okay. So, stand in your own power, expand your circle of influence, connect with people who can help, people that you know, people that have ambition, people that have wisdom, people that know people that want to be of service. Connect with these people. That's how you expand your circle of influence. I weave my way through time and space. An eternity of change and flow. I sing the song of soul's desire and dance, a note of blood-red flame, sacrificed upon the crimson cloth of universal tapestry. That's us. We sacrifice ourselves for the service of others, and then all things are given to us. Play outside the box. This is number 9. Well, what's the box? You hear that a lot.
You know, the
good question.
What's the box? I never did really get that. Unless you're box-minded, box-oriented. A box means you have boundaries, you have limits, you have your mind just sees things a certain way. Question, what is the difference between a mortality-minded person and an immortality-minded person?
There's no death.
No what?
Death.
No death. Okay. No limit. What do mortality-minded people have? They're the ones, they're the Christians that that believe that, you know, we're all going to die, and we're all going to go to heaven or hell, and there's no way out. And once you're there, you're there. You're stuck. There's no salvation for you if you go to hell.
Well, in Catholic
study,
you go to purgatory. You don't go to heaven.
You go to purgatory. What's that? Some in-between place? The neutral zone? The death zone? All right. When you talk with people in your journey of service, you'll find that they want to talk about things. They want to talk about philosophy. They want to talk about their ideas and religion. I only take it so far, and then I elevate it. I say, you know what? You're living in a box. You think you die and go to heaven, and what do you do there? Well, I'm told this, that you sing songs to Jesus up in the clouds in a different dimension, and that I stay there forever. I stay there on earth because I'm in a box and I can't move out of it. If I go to hell, I'm in another box. I'm in, or purgatory, wherever I go. All right, so this is the way a lot of people think. Immortality-minded people, what do they see? What do you see? You're all immortality-minded. Susan?
Continuation of life.
You see duration. You don't see an end. Do you see an end? No. Do you see an end?
No.
No. What would that look like, an end? If there's an end, there's a beginning. It's a progression. It goes on and on and on forever. That is the cool thing about immortality-minded thinking. When you can help a person shift their thinking from mortality to immortality, you have made a difference. You made a difference in the way they think. You have given them an aha. Aha. Aha, I see that. I didn't see that before. Thank you. When Joe explained to me about reincarnation at one time, his wife came banging on the door trying to interrupt it. She is the devil. Personified. She banged on that door. I never heard that door. Banged on so hard on my life. Huh?
She shook the house.
She shook the house. That's your mom, Rachel, but, you know, God love her. But out of this, I got an aha. I could see infinity. I could see beyond. I could see there would never be an end to our progression, to our beingness, to our connectedness. Never be an end. No box. We don't live in a box. I don't think. If we're in a room, it's kind of like a box. But we won't be here for long. And then we'll move out into another dimension where we see nothing but time and space. So, develop immortality consciousness and share it. Share it with others. Oh, the other thing that mortality people have, that immortality people don't, judgments. You have to make a judgment because your mind is living in this finite space and they can't see out of it. So they judge things. Right or wrong, or good or bad. Some things are right and wrong, some things are good and bad, but to hold an emotional attachment to that judgment is not a good thing. It doesn't happen in that book. In that book, the gal commits suicide and she's taken over to the other side and received by her soulmate, and the only person that feels really bad about the suicide was her. She said, I blew it. I signed on for one thing, and I cut it short, and I messed up. And I'm in the soup. So, but she's going to come back, get it all fixed and straightened out. No judgments, no limitations.